You may be seated. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions, his mercies never fail us. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I pray again as we meet this morning that you are ready to hear what God has to say to you as we finish up our series on relationships. This message, again, I believe can be life-changing for some of you because of God's mercy and because of what God wants to do. I know this, is that God loves every one of you, and he doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to grow in your faith, your understanding of him, to know his mercy, to know his love, and to know his forgiveness. And so as we continue in this series and finish it up today, I want us to think about where we are, where we've been, God meeting us from where Todd started to Noah to where we've been, looking at God's grace in the midst of our sin, how he meets us in conflict, and how he is part of all of it. He uses all of it, no matter what you're going through. And so some of you, again, may have had a rather difficult Thanksgiving, right? If you're in the midst of conflict and trying to resolve them, it's uncomfortable, and God meets you right there. So we're going to finish that today. I want you to know that next Sunday, we begin the first Sunday of Advent, and this series is called Holy Moments. And so, again, we'll be looking at the Christmas story and looking at some of those holy moments where God shows up. But he shows up all the time. Matter of fact, I would say maybe this series is beginning this morning, because for some of you, this could be your holy moment of being set free. I was sitting with my counselor, Steve. It seems so long ago. I'm getting old, over 30 years ago. And again, I was sitting there with my counselor. I had come out of a life of alcoholism, so I was free from that. But there was still some bitterness and anger, unhealthy habits. And he said these words to me. Again, it was a process of working with him through these things. But he said these words. He said, "Release them and you will be set free." For me, and again, someday I'll speak more about this, but I had the father wound. And so for me, he said, "Release him and you will be set free." It's hard. It's hard to forgive someone who has hurt you. It's hard to move through in those moments of what God asks of us. And yet, I didn't want to stay in the anger. I didn't want to stay in the bitterness. I didn't want to stay in the unhealthy habits. I knew God wanted to do something, and he was right. I needed to release him. I needed to set him free so that I could be free. And so maybe that's someone here this morning that can already relate. You have some conflict or hurt. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's from the past. And so this is an important message. We'll look at God's word. If in the program it says Colossians 3, we're not looking at Colossians 3. That was before Thanksgiving. Decided to stay in Matthew 18. So if you have your Bibles, again, we'll be looking at Matthew 18, looking at the words of Jesus. But I want to invite you with the making it personal right off the top. And because this is, again, the question that we'll end with, so I'll let you think about it even now. Almost all of us have people in our lives that have hurt us, right? I think many, again, most of us have been in conflict or in conflict of some sort relationally because we are sinners. That's been part of what we've learned in this series. So take a moment to consider if there's someone who you haven't forgiven an offense, what's holding you back from forgiving them today? And so that's what's on the table, is the Holy Spirit works and maybe today sets you free from that hurt. Now, again, the reason it took me time to set my dad free and to be able to forgive him, it's a process, didn't happen right away. But I had lots of excuses, so I made some excuses that maybe some of you may have. If I ask you to forgive this person that just maybe came to your mind in that question, and you're going, "But Pastor, I'm not going to forgive that person. You don't know what he did to me. They lied about me over and over again. They intended to destroy my career. Matter of fact, My boss did destroy my career. I can't forgive him or her. If you knew what is done in my family, you would be angry too. They deserve to suffer. They made me suffer. I'm going to make them pay. I was abused. How do you forgive that? I will never forgive those people. Never. That's a hard place. And yet, it's places like that that we find ourselves, even as believers, in saying, I'm not going to forgive them. So let's review. Relationships matter. If you've been part of this series, at least in the last 3 weeks, we've talked about how to deal with conflict, which is normal and necessary and an opportunity to grow closer to God and even closer to those that we're in conflict with. And so the first thing we learned is that you are to, I should give you a quiz, but I won't. The first thing you need to do is take that time yourself. Before you go to the person that you're conflicted with, take time to talk to God. And we looked at, again, Matthew 7, and again, take that plank out of your own eye. Don't be judging someone else before you've looked at your own life. And so as you look at your own life, you look at your own sin issues, take that plank out of your eye, then you can go with a humble and gentle spirit. That's so important. But then Matthew 5 we looked at, and Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to go quickly. You can't stew on it, because if you're going to stew on it, it's going to kill you inside. And so no matter what the conflict is, stop, talk to God. But then you need to go in a timely way. Resolve it. Don't let it linger. It will kill you spiritually. And then Jesus in chapter 18 we looked at last week. In chapter 18, he said that not only are we to go quickly in Matthew 5, but then we are to go one-on-one. Don't bring a whole crowd with you, just you and that other person. Face-to-face is the best, I believe. You see their body language. You see, you can look them in the eye. Face-to-face, one-on-one, share the hurt. Try to resolve it right there. And I believe that the vast majority of conflict can be ended right there. And Jesus was right. But even in that, Jesus then said that even if you're not able to resolve it there, then go get some help. Don't just give up. Get some help. Get some wisdom. Get someone else to come with you and work at resolving it. It's work, but relationships matter, and that's what Jesus desired. So we want resolve, right? When I sit with people, the question always isn't so much about the conflict. Conflict is normal. The question is it resolved? Is it resolved? And then how will you know it's resolved? We'll look at that in just a little bit. It's resolved, and what we're looking at today is forgiveness. Resolve means there's been forgiveness offered, forgiveness received, that the relationship is restored. And I guess I can say, how will you know that? Well, because you're not going to be thinking about that person in your mind over and over again. Because that's what happens when we're in conflict and someone hurts us. We always remember and we want to retaliate. And so you'll know you've forgiven that person when in your mind, in your thinking, you're not stewing on them all the time. You're not dwelling about the conflict all the time. It's gone. You'll know it's gone when relationally you're not using it as a weapon anymore. When you see this person, you just throw it back at them like, I remember when you did this. I remember when you said that and it hurt me. You got to let it go. At some point, it needs to be resolved where you've talked it through, where it's been forgiven and they've asked for forgiveness or you've asked for forgiveness and it's no longer used as a weapon against them. God does change people, right? God does move people and change them. You got to let it go and let God deal with them. And then just practically, and this is such a simple one, but a big one, and I think a big problem across the church in the United States, and it's just gossip. Practically speaking, we need to stop talking about people that we don't like or talking about people who are different, just talking smack, just belittling. Stop it. There is no room for any Christian, anywhere in the scripture that says you can gossip, you can slander, or you can argue with others for the sake of arguing your point. You find that in the scriptures, and I'll say, you go for it then. Again, I hope this series, as it has for me, is because my wife points out, you're judging Eric. I hope it's helped you to at least think about your words. Think about how you're approaching people, that the Holy Spirit is giving you pause in these things. So here's the main one. Here's the big principle today. And the key principle, so profound, is that we are to forgive as Jesus forgave us. Man, that's it. You want to know what forgiveness is? Will you forgive others as Christ has forgiven you? Let me give you just some passages here. In the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Colossians 3, forgive as the Lord forgave you. C.S. Lewis said this. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Right? It's just true. It's easy to talk about the concept of forgiveness. It's easy for me to say, oh, forgiveness is you just forgive like Jesus forgave you. You do that, you'll be fine. And everyone goes, amen, amen, until you're right in that spot where someone has hurt you, where someone has offended you, and now you're the one that needs to forgive. It's not so easy. It's not just words, though. I want to give you a list of what forgiveness or what forgiveness is not. And the reason is because I think it helps you understand what forgiveness is. And there can be a lot of misunderstanding about forgiveness. So here's the list. Forgiveness is not, it does not mean approving of what someone else has done to you. It does not mean pretending that evil never took place. It does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. Forgiveness is not, it does not mean overlooking an abuse. It does not mean denying that others tried to hurt you repeatedly. It does not mean letting others walk all over you. It does not mean refusing to press charges when a crime has been committed. I can give you an example. We had a guy live with us. He then moved out. We helped him get housing. He came back and he robbed us. I wanted to be pleased about that. So he went to prison, went to the county jail where I was a chaplain, and I visited him in the county jail, shared the gospel with him. I'm not going to overlook the offense. It does not mean forgetting the wrong that was done. It does not mean pretending that you were not hurt. It doesn't mean you don't feel sad or angry. I had a right to be angry, but I didn't have a right to be stuck in my anger, to let it become bitterness. I had to work through it. I need to move through it. It does not mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was before. It does not mean that you must become best friends again. It does not mean that all negative consequences of sin are canceled. Forgiveness is not those things. So let's again press in more of what forgiveness is. I'll let Jesus speak to this in Matthew 18. You're going to need your Bibles open. I'm not putting the verses on here. We're going to read through this. There's some Bibles on the back table. You're always welcome to grab those. Grab your tablet or your phone, Matthew 18. Let's look at what Jesus says here. Well, here comes Peter, and he came to Jesus. Now, remember, we had just looked at how Jesus talked about church discipline and how to resolve conflict. This is just leading in, so it naturally just comes right here. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times, that's verse 21. Now on that day, again, forgiving someone, the law was three times. So Peter was very generous in saying, how about seven times? I mean, do I have to forgive this person seven times if they come to me asking for forgiveness? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And if you put that together, 70 times 7, it comes out to 490 times. And so Jesus isn't saying that you calculate 490 times. He's simply saying unlimited. I mean, as many times you forgive this person over and over. And then Jesus tells this story. You ready for a story, kids? Listen to this story that Jesus, and he loved to tell stories with meaning. Here's the story he tells. Jesus says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold," which I don't know how much 10,000 bags of gold, but let's estimate $50 million, all right? $50 million. He brought it to him, and since he was not able to pay, and we don't know why he wasn't able to pay, I'm assuming he had some kind of region or king thing, and he was scamming the king. He was making money and spending it, didn't have it to pay back when he needed to pay it back, so he's in trouble. "The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." Verse 26. "At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged. 'I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go." See, so the king, the master, his heart was moved. And not only did he release him, but he paid the debt. I mean, $50 million, the gold, I mean, that's extravagant, right? I mean, this is a miracle story, that part. Like, wow, just blown away. Story goes on, verse 28, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who'd owed him 100 silver coins, let's say $100. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.'" Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like a little replay there? Did you see verse 26? Almost identical, the words he said to the king about the $50 million and pleading. Now here's his friend for $100 saying the same thing. "Have mercy on me." But here's a big difference. Verse 30, "But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Now, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged." Can you imagine? I mean, after all, it's one thing, because they knew the debt that he had been released, but the debt was paid. I mean, this just blew them away to hear and watch this unfold. They're outraged. And they went and they told the master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, he says, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured, tormented, until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And there's the moral of the story. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. We need to learn to forgive as God has forgiven us. We certainly don't want to be that unforgiving servant and not forgiving others. And even the tormentors, I mean, turned over, what are those tormentors? Well, I mean, the king had his goons hauling them off, but in the evil realm, Satan has his goons called anger, bitterness, alcoholism, headaches, backaches, anxiety. These are the tormentors that I see, not only in my own life, but in others' lives, of people who will not forgive. Unforgiving servants are tormented by these things. They're not free. And so God is simply saying, I mean, if we just come to that conclusion, is if you're unwilling to forgive others, then you will experience torment in your life. Does that mean that God is not a good God? That he's not a merciful God? He's a God that loves you enough to say, you need to forgive that person, or you will be miserable. you will be tormented. And maybe that is some of you here this morning with your grudges and your unforgiveness and your unresolved conflicts with people. And God is just saying, let them go. Matter of fact, that question that Jesus tells in the story is the one that's before you this morning. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Right? So let's just look at that for a moment. Shouldn't you have had mercy on that person that you're in conflict with now? That person that has hurt you in the past that you feel like you cannot and will not forgive? Should you not forgive them? Should you not have mercy on them as God has had mercy on you? So let's push in on that a little bit. How much mercy did you need? How much forgiveness did you need, did I need, in order to have a relationship with God? How does God forgive? I'm going to give you 12 words of Jesus. And in these 12 words, I'm going to pause. I'm going to let you sit in it just for a moment. Because these 12 words, it's a profound statement about forgiveness. It is a profound action of forgiveness. And it is the greatest example of forgiveness. Here are the 12 words. And the time and the place matters. As Jesus hangs on the cross, these are the words, the 12 words that he says. I mean, Jesus was innocent, right? Here is an innocent, perfect man who was set up by the religious leaders who despised him, despised the truth. I mean, here is salvation before them, and they hated him. I mean, he was mocked. He was beaten. Do you think anyone, as he hangs on the cross, and he hangs on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. Do you think there was anyone out there saying, oh, man, I'm sorry, Jesus, for doing that to you. I was wrong, Jesus, for mocking you or hitting you. I mean, Pilate washed his hands. The religious leaders hated him. There's Jesus. Profound statement, beautiful example to the church. This is what forgiveness looks like. And we can look at that and go, well, yeah, forgive them their sins. But we can make it personal, right? Father, forgive Eric of his sins. You can put your own name there. How bad is your sin? I mean, just how bad are you? That is the tension, right? Because we like to compare ourselves to each other. And if I'm comparing myself with others, I'm not so bad, I'm okay. I'm good enough, right? And we just don't understand sin. We need to understand. Forgiveness does not mean it didn't matter. But sin matters. Sin always matters. Sin is what separates us from God. It is your sin and my sin that put Christ on the cross. It matters. We can't minimize this sin. Don't rationalize this sin. Let me give you the definition just to help you here for a moment. From the New City Catechism, sin is rejecting or ignoring God and the world he created, rebelling against him by living without reference to him, not being or doing what he requires in his law, resulting in our death and the disintegration of all creation. I mean, God's design was beautiful, and then sin entered in the fall of our parents, Adam and Eve. When sin comes, man, it just wrecked everything. If you think you're good enough in any way, if you think you can deserve this or earn this, you are a fool. Do you know the debt? Do you understand the debt of your sin? It was your sin and my sin that hung Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. And the truth is, my confession is, I am the unforgiving servant. It is so easy to judge and not forgive. Like a bull in a china shop just going. And yet if you just pause for a moment and you look at Jesus on the cross and he said, this is what forgiveness looks like. And you realize the depth of your sin, the debt that you, do you realize the debt of your sin and what was paid for you? I mean, it just wipes every excuse away, does it not? Any excuse you have. When you see Christ, any excuse you have just goes away to say, God, forgive me that I haven't forgiven that person, that I won't step into the conflict, that I won't love them enough to have the conversation that I need to have, that I won't do what you asked me to do. I mean, that's just arrogance. Sin kills us. But Jesus paid for that sin. It's a little gospel message here. Here's the good news. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. There's nothing you can do. God did it all. God did it all. He paid the price. Grace is yours. Here's the good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sin so that you could be free, free to forgive others, that you can forgive that person and you can be free and you can experience grace and forgiveness and love in supernatural ways. That's grace. Oh, I love being free. Why would I want to go back to that bondage? Come on out. Release them. Release her, release him, be free in what Christ has done on the cross for you. Forgive. Because that's what God is asking you, the forgiven, forgive. It is the greatest sign of spiritual maturity that I know. When you can forgive others who have hurt you deeply, as Christ has forgiven you, that shows spiritual maturity, because you're not able to do that in your own power, your own strength. You are only able to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit in you to do it. And even then, I'm telling you, it's a process. For some, for others, I've seen it happen supernaturally. Again, as a prison chaplain, I've worked through this with so many inmates, male and female, about forgiveness. The interesting thing is, and again, I'm offering this today. I know Todd's right here with me. Do you want to walk through how to forgive someone? Would you step into that and say, I need to work through this. I need to come to a place that I can be free. I'm just saying, oh, I got to be careful. We need to be a safe church, but we just don't want to talk about these things, and I think it's wrong. We just don't want to talk about what we really need to talk about in relationships, in unforgiveness, in the wounds and the hurts that we have. We don't want to talk about it. We bury it, and you wonder why you're drinking or smoking or doing drugs or watching porn or angry or bitter or you're having migraines all the time. I'm just saying, when do you want to be free? When would you like to deal with this? Because until you step into it and honest and begin to accept God's forgiveness and begin to release others and forgive them, you are going to struggle. Let me end with a story from Corey Ten Boom. It's an old story, but a good story. And I love the quote. I mean, of all the stories, I had so many stories I could tell about forgiveness or unforgiveness that I've experienced in walking alongside of people. Powerful stories of forgiveness offered. But Corey Ten Boom Her family during World War II lived in Holland, and not Holland, Michigan, but a Dutch family in Holland. And when the Nazis began to persecute the Jews, they began to hide people in their home. And that's the name of her book. Again, if you haven't seen it, it's been a long time since I read it, but it was called The Hiding Place. And so literally, they in the walls and stuff, they made places to hide Jews in their home to escape the Gestapo that was looking. So anyhow, they were discovered. And so her dad and her sister, Betsy, and her were put in concentration camps. And they were left there. Matter of fact, her sister died in the concentration camp, and her dad died in one of the German concentration camps. By God's divine providence, in her story, more so by a clerical error, she survived. And so after coming out of this horrific ordeal of death and suffering, God, again, in process, brought her to a place of forgiveness. And she began to speak and share her story, write about her story. And I'm going to pick it up here. This is in Munich, Germany. She is speaking at a church, and I'll just read what she said. She said, "It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room and the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. 'How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein,' he said. 'To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away.' His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people on the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, 'Forgive me and help me to forgive him.' I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest warmth of forgiveness or love. So again, I breathed a silent prayer, 'Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness.' As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along my arm and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from him to me and from me to him. Well, out of my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. So I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love itself." You see, you can't stay where you are today. You can't. You can't go back. You can't go back in the past. God wants to meet you right here in this moment and move you forward. And so we're going to worship. I'm going to invite the team to come. And as we worship around this song, let's go back. Is there anyone in your life that you know, as the Holy Spirit in this moment, that you know you have not forgiven? And they hold you in that bondage of past bitterness and anger. Would you want to release them today? Or even just take that step in the process of resolving this and moving to a healthier place? Another question I would have this morning is there anyone here this morning that has not experienced the forgiveness of God? Have you confessed your sin to God? Have you come to him honestly and said, "God, forgive me of my sin so that I can forgive others and have that relationship"? And so as we worship this morning, again, reflect on this, think about that, and then I will close us in prayer after the song. Father, we approach your throne in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, for he is risen, seated at your right hand, interceding for us this morning. Holy Spirit, move in our midst in this holy moment. Bring salvation, to those that don't know Jesus, that they might experience the forgiveness of sin and know you in a personal way. Father, we approach you asking that you would meet each of us, for you know our hearts. You know those broken parts of us that we try to hide. You see the conflict that we have. And Father, you alone know the unforgiveness. Would you bring deliverance in this moment? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you just a moment. Quiet. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there something that keeps you from being in communion with God? Would you confess that? Jesus, set us free. Help us. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us in the pain. Thank you for meeting us in the wounds. In the brokenness. Thank you for knowing us. We thank you for the freedom that you offer us when you did speak those words, Father, forgive them. Thank you for your grace that allows us to be free. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you comfort us, how you guide us. And we ask that you would continue just to be with us as we move through this, that you would receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we close up, I realize that a topic like that can be really difficult and easily misunderstood. And so, again, I invite you to communicate either with me or Todd, another Christian elder, a friend. I mean, interact around these things. I want to give you a resource. I have used this resource over the years. Matter of fact, it would have been similar to me of what I went through, the process of learning how to forgive someone to be set free. And so we have some of these, just a few on the back table when you leave. It's just a sheet that, again, freedom through forgiveness. It walks you through the scripture, kind of through those steps, so you can begin to think about. Back there as well, there's a QR code to the same link, to the same sheet. So that's our preferred way of giving you this. So just pick this up, and then you can scan that QR code. It'll take you to the link, and you can begin just to look at those scriptures, answer those questions. And then if you need help, again, contact Todd, I, a friend. Don't stay where you are. That's not where God wants you to be. If you're here this morning and you, again, want to know more about Jesus, maybe this was your holy moment and you've experienced receiving Christ this morning. We have on the tables as well, I have decided to follow Jesus. Again, a packet just to give you some information as you begin to step in to your relationship with Christ, which is everything. I want to welcome, or not welcome, but say I'm glad if you are here as a guest this morning. We're glad you were with us. I don't think that was by accident. So we would love to meet you at the information center where you came in, the guest information there. We have a gift for you. Would love to meet you. And as we finish up this morning, again, offering is part of it, and you can put your offering in the back there. There's buckets or give online. We certainly appreciate that. We have Kurt and Lynn here to pray for you this morning. And so, again, if you have any prayer needs, they would love to pray for you as well. Even if on those cards, those prayer cards, if you want to write a confidential prayer request, you can write it on the card. Go to the QR, let us know how we can pray for you. Would you stand? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father high and lifted up, and the power of the Holy Spirit, go in the peace and the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your Sabbath.